This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, thanks for listening to Remarkable Results Radio. I'm your host, Carm Capriato, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcast. Hey, this episode was recorded live at ASTE 2021. I had a great time catching up with friends and meeting new ones. Trainer Gary Smith loves to diagnose the tough challenges. He's going to touch in this episode on the importance of computer and mechanical data in finding carbon and deposit fouling when diagnosing drivability concerns. Now, he is also going to talk about a new definition of technicians saying that they are signal intelligence specialists. It's a unique approach to a technician's skill set. Now, we discuss the skills necessary to play in this new field of automotive tradecraft. Hey, thanks to our partner NAPA for providing you this episode. You know, the NAPA Auto Care Gold Certification offers a premier tier for members to provide consumers with a consistent experience anywhere in the country. Gold certified members earn benefits like preferred referrals, $1,500 in marketing funds, tracks for free, and more. To learn about gold certification, please speak to your NAPA representative. Don't forget, my website, remarkableresults.biz, has over 1,000 archived episodes, all different kind of categories and keywords, nothing you can't find there. Consider it your encyclopedia of knowledge to better yourself and your business as we together work on advancing the aftermarket. Hey, warm welcome to Gary Smith. I haven't had you on enough.
Well, that's okay. There's always the future.
Yeah, you're right. Gary and I met, I'm trying to remember, at ATE in Seattle, and you had all your old radios out there on display, and I was just so fascinated that I came up to you. And then we did a podcast in Philadelphia at a Super Saturday event, and I thought it was fascinating because you're the kind of guy who says, if it ain't basic electric, you're out, right?
That's it.
You're the basic electric guy in my mind. So we're here at ASTE, North Carolina, part of the Independent Garage Owners of North Carolina. It's a great, great event. It's unbelievable. I can't imagine. I can't believe the number of people that are here. I just got done moderating a panel, and there were just as many in the room today as it was 2 years ago, when the last time they held this event. So I'm happy that the commitment to the industry is here to come to learn. And we're here. We're sponsored by Shopware. Glad that Shopware is a great partner of ours. What are you teaching here?
Well, this weekend I'm teaching a pretty unique class that's called Diagnosing Difficult Deposit-Related Drivability Concerns. So what the basis of that is, Carm, a lot of today's gas direct injected cars are having problems with carbon buildup affecting different areas of the engine. And so what my class is based on is identifying that as a problem in drivability, where the DTC charts given to us by the manufacturers overlook that 100% of the time. So what I'm trying to do is bring awareness to the technicians that they have several data PIDs in their scan tool, as well as several tools available on their scopes to go ahead and determine that carbon buildup is there and causing the problem prior to replacing, you know, as I jokingly say, getting the barrel of the parts can in bright red.
Oh, right? Man, so, that did come up in the panel that I moderated. Wow. You've done this class before.
Yes, many times.
And what do people say at the end when they come up to you?
Well, it's a really popular class because it puts the technicians into a thought process that they're not otherwise introduced to. And that is that the problems with the car sometimes are directly related to what you're feeding that car. You know, the car is what it eats. And what I mean by that is, in the case of oils and fuels, we have, you know, ring coking and intake manifold coking and that kind of things that will lead down the road to drivability problems in check engine lights. And the conventional methods of diagnostics, such as, you know, voltage checks and parts replacements, aren't always catching those problems. The lean codes, PO171, PO174, are a good example of that. You know, we've got guys that call into our diagnation.com hotline all the time stuck up against the wall on those codes. And as it turns out, once we put a scope and a transducer on the engine, we find that it's having a problem with carbon fouling on the intake valves, not allowing the valve to seal. So it's just a major problem out there that a lot of your instructors are, I shouldn't say a lot of your instructors, but a lot of the industry does not focus on those kind of problems. So that's what the class is about.
So they come up to you and says, hey, listen, you found me a better way.
Found a better
different way.
Different way.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just said Diagnation. Tell me about that.
Well, Diagnation is our support line, and we have a remote call-in support line for technicians and shops around the country. It's either a single call or membership-based, whichever you prefer.
Oh.
And what we do is remote in and help the technician walk through the diagnosis so we can actually remote in and take control of their scanner or their scope from our location, no matter where they are in the country, and we can help guide that technician to a fix on the car.
Cool. What did you do during COVID? I mean, did you go out? Did you do much?
You know, we didn't. That was one of the things that really precipitated the push to bring Diagnation out to market, was that a lot of us that make our living doing instruction in the automotive industry were essentially put out of business during COVID, as yeah. I'm sure you know.
Did you do any virtual training?
We did a ton of virtual training.
Okay.
Yep,
right.
A ton of it. Yep. But the support business during COVID just went right through the roof. I mean, these, you know, we're in an age and an era where the technology is now exceeding the human brain's ability to absorb it by quantum leaps.
Oh my God. I mean, that is a great, great quote that we should remember for this episode. Every day I think that you don't learn something new, that you don't do some kind of training, you're falling deeper in a hole.
That's a fact. And, you know, the problem with when techs fall into holes on these cars is that there's a lot of money at stake. You know, if you're looking at European cars and somebody's calling a processor or a digital motor electronics module, you're looking at $2,500, $3,000 to, you know, and boy, you better be right when you put that part in the customer's car. And that's where Diagnation comes in, is we go circuit for circuit and fault for fault and help the technician to really dial into what is wrong before we make that call and ask the customer to spend money.
Do you have any specific experts on different platforms inside?
We do. We have some Mercedes guy. We have BMW. We have just a fabulous Volkswagen, Audi, Porsche tech. And then what my job is I handle general diagnostics with the lab scopes. So as I jokingly say to the guys, when the scan tool and the programming magic's over, I dial into the scope and help them fix the car. So we have a couple scope specialists as well.
So you're not there today. Who's doing your job?
We've got three very highly qualified guys on the desk that are answering the phone all day long, and they've been kindly instructed to try to leave me alone this weekend.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, don't
doesn't
bother.
Always work, but
don't bother me. I'm working. One of the things that I know that there's other trainers that are champions of basic electric, but I never forget. I think doing that episode with you. We were kidding about the fact, and this is an important discussion, that we were changing the course called, you know, basic electric for the advanced diagnostician or something like that, mm-hmm. or just so that people would come and have continual training. And I talked to an awful lot of techs that say, just for the heck of it, I go every 2 years to a basic electric class.
Sure.
Do you still believe that's true?
I do believe it's true, and I believe even more so now because of that quantum leap in technology, Carm. I believe that the basic, you know, the most advanced guys that are out there doing stuff today need to and have to be rooted in that basic electrical theory and go back to it over and over, because the answers to the most complex problems show up in the basic electrical laws. Hmm. So yeah, I'm a huge believer in that, and I think a lot of other instructors are as well.
Get out, somebody was saying the other day, just get out the circuit,
diagram, yeah.
The diagrams. And, and the panel today, one of the big things was, if you go down the tree chart and it says jump over to here, you have to ask yourself, well, why did I have to jump over there?
Right.
And that why helps you understand that circuit that you're bypassing that seems to be okay. What does that circuit do, and why am I moving?
Sure. Circuit description and operation, data from the manufacturer are equally as important to that wiring schematic. In other words, the theory of operation of how that circuit works is critical in the understanding of how we're going to go after that car. You know, and one of the things that I see going on out there is we have a lot of advanced level techs that are good at hooking up lab scopes, but the deficit in their knowledge is in the interpretation of what's coming across the screen. Why is that looking that way? Why is that waveform doing what it's doing? And that comes down to the basic electrical laws and understanding how simple things like transistors work and capacitors and inductors. And, you know, in order for us to go there, everybody in our industry was jumped ahead of the basics into the advanced for the most part, meaning here's the scan tool, kid. Here's how you go fix the car.
I know how to work a DVOM.
Right.
But you don't know why the number reads the way it reads.
That's right. And that's where the basic electrical laws will really come into play.
Wow. I you know, doing this show and interviewing you and being so respectful of basic electric, you know, I think I know what ohms are. I don't. I think I know what volts are, and I don't. And what's the other one? Ohms, volts, amps. I think I know what amps are. Somebody says that amps will kill you. Am I right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Volts won't kill you, but amps will kill you.
That's exactly right.
That's what I always remember. Yeah. So,
if your body becomes the resistor load in that circuit, the amps will definitely kill you. Yeah.
Very good. Part of the reason you're here is about defining a new desperately needed class of technician. You're very passionate about this.
I'm very passionate about it, Carm. You know, we have a situation where, as I was just saying, the technology is just far outpacing the human brains a bit. You know, if you look back on history through the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, every advance in technology was implemented in a manner in which and at a pace at which the human brain could capture the concept of it, get a hold of it, and move forward and make use of fixing it or diagnosing it or repairing it. You know, those days are gone. You know, we've got multi-layered stacked software systems. We've got multiple CAN networks, FlexRay networks, Ethernet networks in the vehicles. And the engineering and the theoretical operation behind these systems are just far and above what the average technician is trained in his brain to handle. And that's not a slight on technicians. I was mentioning at my keynote this weekend at ATE in Spokane, the technicians, automotive technicians, are some of the smartest people out there on the planet because of what they have to know in physics and electricity and in chemistry, right? But these kind of problems are just leaving technicians in the dust in some of these new cars, and it's a critical mass thing.
And there's nothing wrong with that, because every day there's going to be a new and a different challenge, and your own personal journaling or your own personal silver bullets, you've been there and done that and this thing worked, are only going to go so far.
That's right.
Because as you said, the layers will produce faults or, like you say, codes or issues or problems with drivability that some people have never seen before.
Right. And then you take the weird corrosion problems, which can cause backfeeds and circuits so that things are not even close to operating the way they were designed. And that throws, you know, even the best of technicians for a big loop.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Gary explains what a signal intelligence specialist is and the other key components of intelligence specialists. Hey, it's Carm here. Today, I have a special message for Napa Auto Care Centers who are looking to take the next step in growing their business and partnership. Now, if you're ready to strive and take it to the next level, Napa invites you to consider Gold Certification. Gold Certification is a premier tier of Napa Auto Care that recognizes repair shops with a higher level of participation in the Auto Care program. The program was built by Auto Care Centers for Auto Care Centers to provide a consistent consumer experience, maximize technology leverage, and reward Napa's most committed partners. When consumers visit a gold-certified auto care center, whether it's a small facility in a rural community or a multi-bay shop in a large metropolitan area, they can expect a first-class service repair experience. This includes a well-trained staff using today's technology and quality Napa parts in a comfortable, up-to-date facility. Customers at gold-certified shops will also enjoy an extended parts and labor warranty, valuable saving opportunities, along with access to credit to pay for needed repairs, and a whole lot more. Here's what you need to qualify for the program. First, you need to be an active auto care partner for at least 12 months and have a steady business presence in your market for at least 2 years. Then, to become gold certified, it's necessary to meet specific requirements, chosen because they create the most consistent consumer experience and proven to generate the most significant results for auto care centers across the country. Some of these include using digital vehicle inspection, having at least one ASE Master Certified Technician, a co-branded exterior, and offer consumer financing through NAPA Easy Pay. You must also be an active member of a business development group. Once your shop achieves gold certification, you'll receive a number of benefits, including priority placement on NAPA's shop locator pages, an allowance for marketing funds, 3636 peace of mind and local labor coverage, access to auto tech training, NAPA Trax shop management system, smart sign digital menu board, and more. Talk with your servicing NAPA store to find out everything you need to know about becoming a gold certified shop. The consumer has no idea what it takes to repair vehicles today, do they?
Not a concept. No, they think that they have you have that magic scan tool. Is it, can't you just plug that computer in?
Yeah,
and it'll tell
me
what's
I need
wrong
it.
With the car.
I went to the store. I got an oxygen sensor. Can you put it in? Mm-hmm. And of course we have. We're all guilty for dumbing this thing down for the consumer.
Sure.
And I think we on the service counter, we as technicians, we as owners, need to spend a little bit more time and not overkill the consumer with too much detail, but explain to them that.
Sure.
Listen, we're investing, you know, hundreds of hours a year in a technician and the proper equipment so that it doesn't take us a week to find your problem. Hopefully we can find it in, you know, in 2 or 3 hours. Really cool if we can figure out a great, if you will, elevator speech or talking speech about vehicle technology. Autonomous cars, electric vehicles, radar systems. People just say, oh, no, just throw a new part on it.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, that gets a little expensive in the industry. You know, this push I've been on to get technicians to understand they truly are signal intelligence specialists. You know, I equate that to the intelligence world. You know, we all watch movies and neat spy novels and that kind of stuff where we see the SIGINT specialists, which in the intelligence world stands for signal intelligence. Okay. Well, in the automotive industry, the technicians out there, the good, serious ones that are really looking to fix cars, have to look at themselves as signal intelligence specialists. Now, the interesting thing about being a signal intelligence specialist, Carm, is that it's made up. If you look in the real intelligence world, when you go take training to be an intelligence specialist or a spy, there are numerous crafts, if you will, trade crafts that are necessary to become a signal intelligence specialist for, say, the CIA or the FBI. One of them would be comment communications intelligence, okay? And in our business, comment comes down to understanding the networks, the flex rays, the CAN buses, the Ethernet, the packet structure, how to track and debug a system. And there's a lot of good instructors out there teaching that right now. You know, so within SIGINT, you have comment, you have MASINT, which is measurement and signatures intelligence. And that's where a technician really has to shine. He has to be able to physically measure that circuit. But more importantly, he has to understand the signatures of what that signal is coming across his scope in order to make a good diagnostic call, right? So in SIGINT, we have SIGINT, we have comment, we have MASINT, which is, again, measurements and signatures intelligence. Signatures meaning what is it that I'm reading coming across that screen? How does it derive? What makes that signal do what it's doing? And then we have IMINT, which in the intelligence world is, spycraft from an airplane, from image intelligence. Well, our image intelligence within the automotive industry is our circuit description and operation, our wiring diagrams, our technical service bulletins, the things that we need to be looking at image-wise to help put us on a path to fix the car, right? So that SIGINT intelligence specialist in the automotive industry is a very desperately needed tradecraft that a lot of serious guys that you have been interviewing and even talking about here over the last few days are highly involved in studying. And it does go back to that basic electricity, okay? And the fact of the matter is, when we can put all these ints together, if you want to look at it from the intelligence perspective, we are in the intelligence business, Carm. Mm-hmm. Any automotive diagnostic technician is an intelligence specialist. And if he can look at it himself that way and craft the skills that bring that SIGINT together. HUMINT is another one, human intelligence. Okay, the service advisor and the technician and the shop owner have to be able to communicate back and forth with that customer and gain the intelligence they need as to what's wrong with the car. That's something that's missing in a lot of repair orders.
Honey, my wife, HUMINT, I'm good at human intelligence. I'm making a jest there, but I think it is incredibly important.
It's very important.
You can't always talk car. You have to talk to people.
That's right, because it's the people that are driving the car.
Yeah.
So sometimes there's misconception. Sometimes there's a clue in there that HUMINT is going to pull out for us. And if we're not HUMINT specialists on that service desk, in other words, if we don't study the personalities, the body language, and how to draw that information out of the customer, then the technician is starting out on that repair order at a deficit of information. And so that's going to affect his signal intelligence skills to get the diagnosis right.
This is fascinating. I'm buying into your whole premise here. Are you the only one driving this bus?
I am right at the moment, because I made the connection a few months back.
Okay.
With some other...
Did you know somebody in the CIA that helped you with this?
Yeah. No, I know several people in the lettered agencies.
Okay.
I kind of came up with the concept myself, because at the root of what we do, we truly are signals intelligence specialists. We're just not spying on Russians and other countries. We're spying on that car and on that customer, trying to get the information we need.
You're pooling as much information on the intelligence side that you can in all these different formats,
you
will, these different theories that you're looking at and attempting to fix the problem.
That's right.
As a SIGINT specialist, signal intelligence specialist,
correct.
Should ASC build a certification around this?
You know, I think it would be a good idea to at least put the paradigm out there.
Or is this too broad in general?
I don't think it's too broad, Carmen. That's a great question, because when I was doing my keynote, the whole crowd was really absorbed in the fact that, hey, you know what? We are signals intelligence specialists, and it's not just about that technician out in the back. It's also about the human guy in the front, the human intelligence guy in the front, getting the right information. The steps to the signal intelligence, to the success of using signals intelligence, looking at it that way, simply means that we have to look at comint and imint and massint and all these ints, and I even throw in there a new one I made up called mechint, meaning we need mechanical intelligence as technicians, okay? And we need to take each one of these crafts and hone them to the point where we have a process by which we approach the car, we use our image intelligence, we use our communication intelligence and our human intelligence to come down to a productive, accurate diagnosis on the car for the customer. And I'm really, really passionate about that, because of the amount of it's just a lot of stuff is getting by us today because the technology is moving so fast. So I want these guys to think about this signals intelligence and start studying for themselves as such, because that's exactly what you are if you want to look at the root of what you do today, is you're a signals intelligence specialist, like it or not.
I'm bought into that, the fact that some people, this could be a revelation to them on how they would look at the responsibilities they have to repair the vehicle through all this great data, all this great information, all the resources that they have. And if reinvent their purpose as a signal intelligence individual.
The measurement and signatures intelligence is probably the part of the tradecraft we all study more than anything. That's what we're here for, okay? Learning how to use that lab scope, learning how to read that waveform. But a lot of that measurement and signatures analysis goes back to the basic laws of electricity. 100% of the time, massint is not something, and that is an actual term used in intelligence, massint.
Okay. Are all of these, except for the mechint?
Mechint is the only one I made up.
That's yours.
The rest of them are truly... a tradecraft that is necessary to work in the intelligence agencies, and they're trained on each one of those fields. For example, when you see the guy in the movie with the headset on, and he's in a van, and he's listening to all the signatures, you know, and signals coming out of an apartment building looking for their perpetrator. That is a mass int specialist, a measurement and signatures specialist. Okay, I saw the signal come through. What is its signature? How did it get there? What made that signature occur? That's what I need to know in order to go catch that bad guy. Well, the same thing applies with when you're an automotive technician. If you see something come across that screen and you don't quite understand what it is, you're going to go right by that answer when it was staring you in the face, right? So I believe studying these trade crafts, if you want to look at us as automotive signal intelligence specialists, we have to have a piece of each of that in there, Carm, in order to be successful at what we do.
Gary, are you going to talk about this to tomorrow at your class?
I'll talk about it a little bit. I've developed a keynote speech that really dials into this for about 45 minutes.
But how do you continue to get the word out? I mean, have you run this by other trainers, shop owners? What kind of feedback are you getting about this?
Well, the feedback I'm getting is that it is incredibly relatable to what we're doing.
Yeah.
Meaning all of those different ints, if you will, the comment part, the human part, the mass int, you know, all of it, image intelligence, all of that's very, very important.
You're putting a structure and a bow around the challenges that we have. I guess a discipline and a structure to realize the roles that you play. All these are roles within, as you say, the CIA.
Sure.
The roles. The mass int guy is the one that's in the van listening.
Right.
Even though he may be trained as a specialist, we as a lead ATEC diagnostician have to play all these roles.
That's right.
We have to understand our purpose within each of them.
That's right.
So this is like a 8-hour class almost in my mind.
It is.
And it seems to me that you'll be busy teaching this if the theory, you know, gains some legs.
Mm-hmm.
Who have you gone to anybody and says, I love it, Gary, let me get you, you know, will you be busy for the next 300 days taking this out? And do you believe it'll make a difference in our industry?
Carm, I really do believe it'll make a difference in our industry, and that's why I'm out there preaching this paradigm, if you will. I mean, I know it seems like a silly illusion to draw between what we do and the intelligence agencies, but it's really not. I mean, the fact of the matter is it fits like a glove. You know, my mantra is to make people aware that there's more than wrenches and DTC charts and scopes and scanners to fixing these cars. We really truly have to be intelligence specialists to get to that answer. And a lot of us that have, you know, gone down the road of a vehicle for 2 weeks trying to bang our heads against the wall, figure out what's wrong with it, realize that, because it might have been in that case one little piece of human intelligence that was missing that made the connection to get that car fixed.
Yeah.
Right. So to me, this is something that all technicians need to think about and hear about and really apply the study of those different crafts to what they do in order to get better at being an A-level diagnostic technician.
Where do the owners fit in here? How do you change the paradigm inside of a business if the owner doesn't also put some muscle behind it? Do we need to teach the owners this paradigm shift?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because they're kind of the CIA station chief, if you will,
okay,
of their shop,
yeah.
If you want to look at it that way.
And I want to see you approach, you know, each and every challenge that we have with this signal intelligence discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to be sure that you're good at all of these signal intelligent disciplines.
That's right. That's right. There's so many good consulting firms out there on the front end of the business, you know, for repair order efficiency, sales, that kind of stuff.
Oh,
you know them.
We all know them.
Yeah. They're great guys. Okay. Well, those are people that can really help with the human and the comment skills on the shop owner and the service advisor front end, whereas events like this where we're loaded with the good technical instructors can help the guys with those measurement and signature analysis and those kind of parts of what we need to do.
I didn't think I was going to be able to follow you, but I did. Maybe I'm getting better. I for sure learned something new today. I love this. I wish all kinds of success getting this word out. And if you're listening to this and you kind of think it's cool, just write me, carm@remarkableresults.biz. What's your email?
My email is gsmith@diagnation.com.
Cool.
Or you can reach us right through diagnation.com.
Cool.
And we'll be happy to have a discussion with you.
I'm so glad that you came in. I love this. Always pushing the envelope of new and different things. And there's no doubt, I think this is a... is something we have to really think about.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Gary Smith. Appreciate you being here, man.
Thank you, Carm. I really love being with you guys.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.